This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 24th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. We're here to be a sounding board for your investing strategies. Let's talk about the mix in your portfolio. Maybe that will help. That can be very important than what's in the contents of your portfolio. The mix itself can be extremely important. You know, our lives get complicated, especially our financial lives as we get older, get somewhat complicated. So I wanted to try to help you make the hard choices to make it maybe simplify your financial life. Maybe you have a real estate question, maybe some other insurance question, or like typical, our investing questions are all welcome. 888-99-CHART is our number. When investing in the stock market, there are basically three areas of investigation that you need to concentrate on. Three areas. Fundamentals is number one. Fundamentals, then technicals, and then the background of the economics you're in. Now, fundamental analysis covers anything that is used to determine the value of the company, earnings, sales, profit margins. You know, those things are the fundamentals. There's a lot more than that, but those are the fundamentals of the company, the actual numbers that the company produces in its business. Then there's technical analysis, and technical analysis is nothing more than watching the stock price move over time. Now, there's many things that you can look at, but the simple fact is all it is watching the stock price movement over time. That's it. Now, you can put on balanced volume. You could put parabolics on it. You can look at the volume traded. You can look at relative strength indicators, the oscillators. There's millions of ways to look at that. But simply, it's just looking at the price movement over time of a particular stock or index. That's it. And it's not science. It's more of an art. And finally, economic analysis. This is probably the most powerful analysis you can do. For instance, if it's an economy that's rising, you know, there's an old saying that a rising tide lifts all boats. That is true in a rising, growing economy. It helps weak companies as well as strong companies, both in their stock price and their business. But you have to understand the economic environment. Is it growing? Is it shrinking? Is it getting old in the growth of the economy? Is the recovery from a recent or past recession strong, weak, old, young? Because it all matters when you're investing. All that matters. So we're here to give you some encouragement as you wrestle with the tough choices. Stay in the learning mode. That's all I can suggest. Never stop learning. I welcome your questions, beginner or experienced. We can talk live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. But let's start off by answering a question from our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, I got a question about asset allocations. I'm 55 years old. I have my money in a 401k plan. Right now, I'm in 50% S&P 500 index, 25% in a global index, and another 25% in a target date fund. I believe it's 2030. Just wondered what you thought about the allocation and the way the market's going. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that allocation if that is the risk that you wish to take. That is a pretty high-risk portfolio, and you'll have good returns when the market is in the bull phase, which it is. When it turns to a bear phase or a big correction, you'll get hit pretty hard. But you're 55, you stay with the market 10 years or more, you should recover from almost any bear market or bear big correction. You'll recover from corrections. As years go by, when is that next bear market? And you have a pretty risky portfolio. You may not want to take the risk that will produce. You know, I did several studies of some portfolios today, and I give them, you know, part of the risk analysis that we do. Remember, you take that risk questionnaire and tells me what your risk. But if you send me a portfolio, I put it in there, and there's a report I produce, and it gives you the stress tests. If the market was like the bear market and you hold on to these positions you have, and you were had those positions in 2008, how much would you have lost? So what percentage of your money would you have lost? And it also does the other side too, in a bull market, and tell you how much you would gain with this portfolio. So it's pretty useful for you to look at and say, well, can I handle 40% drop in my valuation in the next bear market, if it was like the last bear market? Do I want to go through that? So that's what that does, you know, that risk analysis tool. And that's why I tell you, go to the website, investtalk.com, take the risk questionnaire. I respond by saying, please send me a portfolio, and this is your risk score. This is the risk score of the S&P 500. Send me your portfolio. I'll put it in, and we'll find out what kind of risk level you're taking, and will it match up with the risk that you want. You are taking high risk. If that's okay with you, then you're okay. If you want high risk, that's what you got. So what's on our list for the topics today? Assets, your asset allocation for retirement. I should say, assess. Assess your asset allocation for retirement. And that's going to be our main talking point. I also have a couple of other things we need to talk. Things that I worry about. I got a few things I'm going to bring up that give me some pause, and I think we should share those. Could GE be kicked out of the Dow 30? Could GE be? They had something happen today that the Dow doesn't like and may kick them out. You know, GE has been in there the longest, but it has gotten kicked out twice in its history of the Dow 30. Twice, then let back in. That's interesting, huh? And, you know, I talked about self-driving cars. Well, there's been some speculation, some studies. What will happen to communities and your standard of living if cars were self-driving? What would happen to your way of life? And I thought this was a pretty interesting article, and I thought I'd share with what will be the result of self-driving cars. And I got a couple questions, emails I hope to get to today. One asked about ways of hedging, and another was asked about a stock. So hopefully we can get to those today. The market today, it seemed like it was a big update, huh? Dow was up 168 points. Well, most of that was two stocks. Excuse me. Boeing and Caterpillar, because they had really good earnings. The NASDAQ was only up 12 points. The S&P only up 4 points. Though the overall market didn't go up nearly as much as the Dow. I mean, the Dow was up twice, percentage-wise, than the overall market. A little bit more than twice, even. So it wasn't that great of a day, even though you might feel it because you know they're going to report it on all the news. 168 points on the Dow, that's just great. Yeah. Be very, very careful. It's not always the good news that you think it is. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Do what the rich do. They keep their money in a variety of asset classes. They also rebalance regularly. That means they sell the investments that have gone up and use that cash to buy those that have fallen. Do what works, everybody. Have questions about rebalancing? 888-99-CHART for any money questions you might have.
Hi, this is Brian out of Bloomington, Illinois. I had a question in regards to buying stocks for a company that you work for, specifically General Electric. I work for General Electric Healthcare, and I know the stock isn't looking the greatest right now, but in regards to where it stands right now, I figured it would be a good time to buy it while it's on sale. In hopes of it growing in the future and new management and CEO taking over. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. So if you don't mind answering my question, that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, GE was going to be part of my one of my talking points today, so I guess I might as well discuss it here. Now, GE could be kicked out of the Dow, and if they were, the stock would fall even harder. One of the reasons why it could be kicked out of the Dow is because there is a there's ratios that the Dow, which is part of the the Dow Jones Industrial Company, there is a ratio that they like to maintain, and that is that no stock in the Dow would be 10 times smaller than the highest priced stock, and GE is. So GE has made that threshold where the Dow does not like to hold on to these types of companies. When Boeing, which is the biggest stock of the Dow right now, I think, and therefore they may kick them out. If they kick them out, just think of all the indexes that would have to sell Dow, because if the Dow Jones Industrial Company kicked GE out of the Dow Jones Industrial Index, they would replace it with another company, and that company would be bought, and the GE would be sold for all the indexes held out there. What do you think that would do to GE? That would crush them. They would go down much harder still. And the question we have with it, the problem we have with GE is that, the GE itself is that they have earnings. They missed their earnings. They have liquidity issues, meaning they don't have enough cash on the books. And there's been the doubts about the recovery plans of GE. Now, after saying that, and I will say this, any big blue chip stock that has kicked out of the Dow, many of them moved up sharply after they got beat up. After they got beat up and recovered. Now, the trick here is GE beat up enough at this point? Just $21.89 stock. Is it been beat up enough? And no one knows that answer. If you work for GE, I just wouldn't make it a very big part of my portfolio. You can own some of it, but don't own a lot of it. Don't. 5% of your overall portfolio. If it's all you own, get out. Sell it. You don't need to own your own company stock. There's been too many horror stories out there of having that one stock being the whole portfolio. It's too risky. Too much risk. That's GE. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278. Well, the World Series gets started tonight. And the reason why I'm interested is my brother-in-law is the third base coach for the Astros. So I have a lot of interest in that game. So starts pretty soon. Anyways, 888-992-4278. Earnings season's in full swing. Earnings look like they're doing pretty good, but I'm going to talk about that in more details this hour, too. I want to make sure we all understand the earnings reports you're reading. You know, I told you before, and I'll tell you again, you can lie about statistics in so many ways. You can report numbers in a way that sounds very positive when in actuality the numbers are not. But if you get enough people believing in that positive report, doesn't really matter, does it? Self-fulfilling prophecy. If I can convince everybody that poison is good tasting, everybody will take it. Gotta be careful. To protect your portfolio, keep a cash cushion. 3 to 6 months expenses is normal. That helps you avoid having to sell and raise money for an emergency at the exact wrong time. Reach me now at InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Daniel Menlo Park. How you doing, Daniel?
How you doing, Steve? Good to talk to you. Listen to your show every day on 1220 religiously. Had a quick question.
Thank you.
Celgene, CELG.
Yes.
Sir. Just wondering whether
buy
it,
sell it.
Okay,
let's take a quick look at it. CLG is the symbol. CLG. Okay, Celgene, everybody. Wait a minute, that it's not CLG. Hold on.
CELG. My bad.
Okay, CELG. Okay. Yeah, hold on. You got to bear with me now. I got to retype it in.
Thank you.
CELG. C-E-L-G. Okay, so develops therapies to treat cancer, immune inflammatory diseases by regulating cells, genes, and proteins. And it's a big company, $94 billion, a mega cap company. And it's growing pretty darn fast, you know, 18-19% sales and 20-plus percent earnings this year and next. You can't beat that kind of, that's a very good number for such a big company.
Okay.
So it's going to make $8.88 next year. It's a $120 stock. So it's selling for around, what, 15, 16? Yeah, around 15 PE. And that's its low range, 15 to 33 in the last 5 years. It's recently popped down. Did it pop down by because of bad earnings or a bad earnings report? Why did it fall from 137 down to 122 in one day? You kind of want to know that.
That's what I'm wondering.
The odds are it was an earnings miss. Now, you want to read that earnings miss, and the miss could be a penny. I mean, not worth much of anything, but a miss is a miss, and they get beat up unfairly for this. So find out why it fell. And if it was an earnings miss, I'm trying to read Phil's poised for a beat this earning. It doesn't. I would find out what that was. It's going to be something that happened on that day. And when you find out if it's not something that will change the fundamentals of the company, in other words, oh, the sales are going to be cut in half because a drug turned out to be poisonous instead of good. You know what I mean? Something dramatic.
Right.
Then this would probably be setting itself up for a buy opportunity in this $120 area.
Okay,
the numbers are really
good.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Thanks for the call, Daniel. Appreciate it. That's Celgene, C-E-L-G. Let's go to Dan. It's San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Pretty good, Steve. I hope you're doing good today.
I'm alive.
Okay. I'd like to ask you about an ETF I came across. It's an MLP. It tracks MLPs midterm or mid-something MLPs, but it's got a yield of 16%. And I'm thinking, whoa, I better talk to Steve about this one.
Yeah, I'm showing 25%, matter of fact.
25. Oh, okay.
This is an ETF, exchange-traded fund, investing in high-quality midstream energy master limited partnerships, MLPs. It's fairly new. It came out in the beginning of 2016, so it's not been around a long time. And don't fall in love with that dividend because we don't have a long-term history. We don't know how, you know. And the way they paid it looks like it was some kind of stock split, like 106 shares for every 100 shares. They did that 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So they give you a few more shares every 4 times, and that's how they paid the dividend in shares. Did you know that they could pay dividends in shares, Dan? A lot of people don't.
No, I didn't.
It doesn't always.
From what I read, I thought it was the dividend was being covered by dividends from the MLP, and they sell covered calls, and also capital gains from sales that they do.
That's how they're earning their money, but they don't pay you their money. They pay you in dividends.
You mean in shares?
They pay you in shares. The dividend is paid in shares, and so. That means they could have the shares already in hand, or they can issue more shares just to pay you a dividend. So be very, very careful of that. It's kind of it makes it very attractive, and you think you're making a lot of money, and it may or may not true. Because look, the stock has gone down. Why has it gone down? Well, because they're diluting.
Over a 5-year
they're
period,
diluting.
It looks like a falling knife.
Yeah, because they're diluting the shares. They're issuing more and more shares. They're diluting the earnings by issuing more shares, and they're calling it a dividend, which legally they can't. Be very careful. I wouldn't buy this one, Dan. I'd stay away from it. It looks too attractive.
That's why I called you. Okay. Thank you very much, Steve.
I appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. Hey, did you ever notice that things look too good that they always are? They always are. I mean, I have relatives that bring me ideas, and they go, look at this. Look at what they'll pay. They're going to pay. Oh, look at this. And every one of them, way too good to be true. Not going to work that way, people. Coming up on tomorrow's Invest Talk, 5 questions to ask before opening a Roth IRA. That's tomorrow. What's your topic today? My direct line is 4 to 5, open Pacific time every day, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. KPP is an independent financial advisor. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means that they don't receive commissions for the sale of investment products, which means they have no conflicts of interest. KPP offers a straightforward approach, personal one-to-one relationships, real-life solutions that just make good sense. When you're ready to find out more about the variety of investing programs from KPP, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investment tab. KPP Financial. Independent thinking. Shared success. Now let's get back to the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're glad you're here. 1 hour of financial news and perspective where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. So, we talked about asset allocation last week, and just briefly, and I thought we'd talk about it again, different ways to allocate. You can buy those target-dated funds, which I don't like particularly. You can buy those target-dated funds, and that's one way to asset allocate, and it goes, automatically goes more and more and more into bonds, okay? But you also can allocate specifically your portfolio. For instance, you could take your portfolio and say, okay, for half of my portfolio, I'm going to take risks with, and these are the kinds of risks I want to do. And the other half, I want to take much less risk, and this is the types of things I'm going to do, what assets I'm going to put in it. I'll give you an example. We have what I call a balanced income portfolio that we have a bunch of clients in, and half of it is we split the portfolio, and half of it we put in high dividend paying stocks. That's what we do. We buy high dividend paying stocks for that income. The other half, we buy a bond ladder. So those are the asset allocations. Now you could do a different asset allocation. You could say, I'm going to do 35% blue chip stocks, 20% blue chip foreign stocks, because you think it might grow faster. And then 25% in foreign bonds, because you think the dollar might get weaker or stronger, depending on what bonds you want to buy. So there's different, and you can say 20% in commodities, because you don't want to necessarily be in the stock market at all. You see what I'm saying? Different asset allocations. The trick here is to know what the asset allocations do in different types of markets, and depending on what you want as far as risks, what allocation would fit you based on your risk tolerance. So I like that much better, because I like it to be designed for you, what will suit you with the idea of what the environment that you're in is doing to you, economic environment. For instance, when I say that, I mean like in today's economic environment, we have very low interest rates that are moving up very, very, very slowly. The Fed is raising the rates. Well, what kind of assets work in that kind of environment? We have an environment in which the economic growth is slowly picking up, but still subpar. Subpar. We're going to get our third quarter GDP numbers next week. And it's going to be, all the experts think it's going to be less than the second quarter GDP numbers. So that's the kind of thing you have to look at as far as the background. Remember at the beginning of the show, I told you, look at the fundamentals, look at the technicals, and look at the economics that you're in. So when you do asset allocation, you've got to pay attention to that. So you got your personal risk tolerance, your economic background, how much longer are you going to live, and what kind of income do you need, how much, there's all kinds of questions to ask. Ask yourself, and then move forward from that point. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. I'm wondering, are you brave enough to buy PG&E here?
I bought about 3 days ago, 4 days ago. How's that?
Oh, okay.
So, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
if they come out liable, you're going to just live through it.
Yep. Let's talk about it. Bring everybody else in on it, Bruce, what we're discussing. PG&E, symbol PCG, engaged in generation distribution of electricity and natural gas in northern central California, right where the fires are. And there's been rumors that the fires could have been caused by a down power line or something, and PG&E is responsible. Okay, how much damage is there out there? $500 million worth of damage? They have insurance for that, Bruce. They have insurance for it. They're not going to pay that. And it's a power company. It's a power company. They lost something like $5 or $6 billion market cap when there's less than $1 billion worth of damage. Okay, so you're going to say, well, there's also 20 people killed, right? Well, are they going to be responsible for those 20 people? First of all, you got to prove that it was their fault. First, they got to prove that. That's not going to be easy. Second, they have insurance for it. I don't know how much, but they do. And third, one of the latest persons that died was in a water truck, and he kind of fell off a cliff or drove off a cliff or whatever, and he passed away, which is, of course, a tragedy, but is that their fault? How much? You see what I'm saying, Bruce? So they have lots of insurance. They're huge, and the stock got killed, and I think it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I think. I could be wrong, Bruce.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Appreciate it. That was PCG. These are one of those I feel comfortable about rolling the dice on. I don't think it's gonna kill the company. I don't. Okay, I have an email question. Someone called asked about ways to hedge. Could you talk about ways to hedge? First of all, let's discuss what hedging is. Hedging means, in my parlance, that you're going against the market. You're hedging against it. The market's going up, and you think it's going to turn around and fall. You want to prepare the portfolio against that. So doing that hedge would mean that if the market continues up, you will not continue up as fast, depending on how big a hedge you put on. The ways to hedge. You can hedge by going the exact opposite of what you own. Let's say you own 30 stocks, 100 shares each. You own them. You want to hold on to them. Well, you can short 30 stocks, 100 shares each. So no matter what happens, you don't go up or down. Now, no one does that, but that's a perfect hedge, and it will work as a hedge. A hedge more typical is you own 30 stocks, but you think the whole market's going to go down. You can hedge the market by buying an ETF that goes up if the index goes down. So maybe some of your 30 stocks won't go down if the market turns down, but you're shorting the index will go up if the market goes down. So you hedge a portion of your portfolio, and that's shorting the market. Shorting means you go in the opposite direction of a bull market. It goes up when the bear market comes and down when the bull market's here. Another hedge. Buy something that's not correlated to the stock market. Bonds, gold sometimes, commodities, things that don't necessarily go up with the market. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That's another type of hedge. Cash is a hedge. Obviously, if you have cash in your portfolio, that's not going to go down or up, right? If the market goes in whatever direction. So those are some of the kinds of hedges you could do. Now, there's a lot more types of hedges. But, you know, you start getting into much more exotic things and you're not going to be able to implement those kinds of things. That's what, you know, hedge funds do, okay? Why don't you invest a few minutes and check out our book section on investtalk.com? Besides my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, you'll see a whole catalog of titles that we personally selected and put there. These are books that we like. So, you know, and some of them are complex, some of them are not, those books. So it depends on what kind of investor you are. Okay, so every one of those books are meaningful in some way. So visit the recommended books section on investtalk.com, books that should be in your library.
We have an award-winning system that could help you determine your optimum level of risk. First, it assigns you a risk number after you answer a short series of questions. Then, if you'd like, we can take that number and help you determine if your current retirement portfolio matches up. You may find that your current investments are too conservative or that you should be taking more risk. Give it a try right now on investtalk.com.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Don from Wisconsin, longtime podcast listener. And I have a question for you. I listened to your program yesterday for short-term investments and wondered what you thought about Vanguard Short-Term Bond Fund, VCSH. Term's about 2.7 years, and they've been returning a little over 2%. Look forward to your answer on the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Now, this is a very good hedge against the market. Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bonds, VCSH, ETF, seeking performance of the maturity-weighted corporate bond index with a short-term average maturity. So you get 2.2%, and the average maturity is 2 years. That's pretty good. And if the market goes down, this won't. Market goes up, this won't. It's a good hedge against the market. I like it because it won't be affected too much by interest rates. If the Fed keeps pushing them up, this short-term bond may be affected, but to a much smaller degree. So I kind of like it in all different ways. That it's a decent hedge for the time being, and it should earn you some money. Now, it's beating inflation just by a tad. I think inflation is, 1.9% annually, and it's paying 2.2. So it's beating inflation right now, which is better than a CD or money market, right? So I don't have a problem with this at all. And Vanguard is one of the lowest fee funds there is out there, so I like that part too. VCSH. 888-99-CHART. Okay. Things I kind of worry about a little bit about the market here. And these are just, you know, I've been trying to be kind of balanced at the good things versus bad things. So, for instance, a good thing is the earnings coming in pretty darn solid. That's a good thing. Earnings are good. Some things I'm worried about, though. We've had 33 consecutive sessions where the market has not, on a daily basis, moved up or down more than 0.5%. By the way, that's the longest since 1995. Telling you that the market is very calm. That's what they tell you, not volatile. Also, earnings going forward, as I just said, earnings season this quarter has been pretty good. The problem with that, if you remember right, back in 2016, we had an earnings recession or slump. There was not very good earnings for the corporations last year, which was a concern. And that's why value stocks worked very good last year. Well, therefore, we're comparing quarter over quarter from last year to this year. So the earnings this quarter look much better than last year because earnings actually went down for many companies last year. But going forward from now on, the comparisons are going to be much more difficult because earnings rebounded this year and late last year, last quarter last year and beginning of the quarters this year up until now. So those comparisons are going to be tougher. Too many stocks are down on volume versus up on volume in this bull market recently. That means the market's getting very narrow. narrow. Narrow markets are not healthy markets. Okay, and finally, where's our tax cut, everybody? Where is the promised tax cut? Where is the spending program? Not even talking about that anymore. Doesn't even come up. And we all know what happened to the repeal of Obamacare. Now, I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you're on the left side or the right. I don't really care. I care what drives the market. And what has driven the market is promises. One of those promises was a big tax cut. They're still talking about it. We're in October. They're talking about it. They may get it done by the end of the year. They may not. And is it going to be enough to satisfy the market investors who have built into the price of the market a pretty decent tax cut? We don't know how decent, and we don't know how watered down this tax cut's going to be when it finally does get passed, if it gets passed. What if it doesn't get passed this year? Is the market still going to keep going up? Is it, you know, as we go into next year, and we still don't have that? These are things I worry about. And what about the spending program? Are you telling me you can't do two things at once? Is that so hard? I'm telling you, Washington is incompetent. They're incompetent. That's my personal opinion. Anyway, so those things are worrying me just a tad, just a tad. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Before the end of the hour, I want to talk about how self-driving cars. I'm all gung-ho of self-driving cars, and I find it interesting that most of my generation, my friends, people I know, relatives my age, not looking forward to it. They don't want them. They're not interested. I am fully embracing that idea. I love the idea. Love it. Can't wait. But it's going to change the way we live. So I want to talk about what some of those changes might be before the end of the hour if we can get to it. And I do have one email question I still have left from someone before the end of the hour. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I appreciate you being with me and being with me every day. We have just a few, this is the last section of the hour, so we don't have too much time left. But there's still time for you. You can reach me right now with any question at 888-99-CHART. Steve, please give me your take on a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. It is Pattern Energy Group, PEGI. Is it trying to set a bottom? Pattern Energy Group, everybody, is a $2.2 billion REIT that owns interest in 10 wind power projects in the U.S., Canada, Chile, with an owned capacity of 2.6 megawatts. Okay. It's going to make 28 cents this year and then 57 cents next year. Pays a dividend of 7.2%. Now, don't fall in love with that. That dividend was paid when they didn't make any money. They hadn't made money for most of the last 10 years. Okay? They didn't make money in 2015 going backwards. 2016, they didn't make money. I'm sorry. Lost 22 cents a share. So just going forward, they're going to make money. It's a $23 stock. They have lots of debt. Sales are increasing, and I would probably stay away from it. One of the reasons I don't like wind power generating projects or companies is because a lot of them make money because of different kinds of subsidies or tax breaks. And therefore, you're going to be subject to government whims to take away or give them those tax breaks. And I worry about that because in the economic recession, though generally those tax breaks are taken away, and you got to find out what they are and how impactful that will be. And I'm just not keen on that idea. And this thing has been going down, bounced a little bit today. I think you got to let it go down. I think it's going to go down back down to $18 a share. So I'd stay away from it. Let's go to Alex in San Jose. I want to talk about GDX. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know the recent pullback on the GDX, if it is time to buy at this point.
Well, GDX is the ETF, exchange-traded fund, corresponding to the Arca Gold Miners Index. Not gold itself, but the gold miners. So, gold prices drive this stock, obviously, this ETF, I should say. If gold prices go up, this thing will go up. So you're really watching the gold. And it's been going sideways for a lot of this year. Okay? It moved up a little bit, but then started going sideways and trading a range for much of the year. And now the question, is it going to break up or down? And Alex, I think it's going to have one more run, but it's kind of in the middle of the range it's been trading in right now. So I don't know if it's a good buy point. I'd rather see you buy it around 21, 21.50. It's a 22.95. It goes up to 25. It's been at 25 and as low as this year to about 21. So that's the range. You're going to be buying in the middle, sort of in the middle at 22.95. But I do think we're going to have another run on gold prices at some point. And it's a good hedge against the market. If you're worried about the stock market, owning this will probably be helpful, because if the stock market falls, this gold miners tend to go up because of gold tends to go up. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay. Self-driving cars, everybody. I like the idea. But how are they going to change our neighborhoods? Well, most of the experts that looked at this said what's going to happen is people are going to go suburbs are not going to change, but they're going to get further away. Why? Because traffic will lessen. There'll be less traffic. Why? Because the cars will have much less accidents. There'll be less congestion because they'll be smart enough to talk to each other, and there won't be nearly as many traffic jams. That's what they're saying. Also, they'll be further away because they can use the commute time to work. You know, if you don't have to drive, you can do answer your emails, you can do expense reports, you can make appointments for your kids, or you can do things. So you can live further away and you still can get things done in the car. Or you can sleep. How's that? You can sleep in the car while you're driving into work. So they're thinking that suburbs are going to get further away. That's just one of, there's other things, but that's all the time I have for it. Kind of interesting, huh? Time to wrap it up. A reminder that I will be spending a day in San Jose on the 8th of November. Times are filling up, people, so if you want to meet with me, make your appointment. Go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I'm glad you came with me today with this interesting day, market day. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I thank you for being with me, and hopefully we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.